I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's the Weekend Podcast. Welcome to the podcast here. I've got Peter and Steve. You're right, lads, there.
Yes, hello, good day.
Yes, I'm very good, thank you.
Steve's got a mouthful of heaters. Or fajitas. Fajitas. It's cold. I gotta say that. That's why we got a mouthful of heaters. That's what I thought he said. But because he had a mouth. What are you doing, Stephen?
I got all the food stuck in my braces.
That's nice. What, your braces are in trousers?
Yeah. it was a messy fajita. So,
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Where are you putting the food?
Yeah, I know. But. Yes, anyway, by the way, if you just tuned in for the first time, the Weekend Podcast is a bit different. Yeah, I do apologise. It's a bit different from the weekday podcast where I just chat to CEOs and market, you know, analysts, pretty all similar. That stuff. Yeah, of course. And by the way, I'm really glad to see they've lowered that speed limit on that road that Prince Philip is on. Yes. Yeah, it's really because...
About time.
They lowered that from 60 miles an hour to 50. And I to be honest, I don't think that's enough. I think they should have brought it down to about 5 miles an hour. And in fact, any road he drives on, lower it down to 5 miles an hour. It's not him, it's the road. Right?
Did you see someone's made a poster with him blindfolded doing the Bird Box challenge?
Yeah. So,
I haven't seen it.
But the thing is, people are saying, people are arguing that it's not because of his age. Not his age. No, it's not his age. Oh, no. He's 97. Young people are just as dangerous. Yeah, but the thing is, young people will get better. You know, they are reckless, I know. And they're highly insured. They're insurance. So they will get better. I guarantee Prince Philip won't get any better. You know, it reminds me of my grandfather. Twice he had an accident. In the end, he had to say, you know, you can't drive anymore. The first time he's parked in his garage, he drove straight through the front of the wall of the garage into his garden. He mistaken the R for it. The D for R is automatic. Second time, he just pulled out in a car, smashed him. We asked him, I said, "Grand, you know, Bam, why did you pull out?" He said, "Well, I've been waiting long enough, I think."
Fair enough. I've got time.
I got a busy life. I haven't much life left. That's not the way it works. So, yeah, I think, and on Sky now, they did a poll. It says, should Philip be driving in 97? I said, no, 60 was the speed limit. 97 is not legal anyway. Talking about sort of old elderly legends. Yeah. There was one. Elderly legend. But there was one guy called Jack Bogle died this week, and I don't know if you're aware of him, because I think it's worth pointing out. Because I know a lot of people are having trouble in the markets. They have last quarter's been awful. Steve said on the WhatsApp group that he's now like 5% down on where he started investing. But you know, it's a long term. Jack Bogle. Do you know who Jack Bogle is, Steve?
No.
He invented the Bogle dance. No, he didn't. Do you know the Bogle?
I didn't know his name, but I certainly know the company he founded and did invest in one of their passive trackers.
What do you invest in that? Vanguard. In fact, look it up, everyone. If you listen to this right now and you're having a bad time in the markets and you're sick of trying to stock pick and all that stuff, just go to vanguard.co.uk, right? It's available in most ISAs. He invented, years ago, 1889 he was, Jack Bogle, he died, but he was hated by Wall Street because basically he became a hedge fund manager, and he said, hang on, this is ridiculous, you're charging lots of money here, and I think, and he set up what's called a passive tracker, you know, so a group of stocks equally weighted to say the, you know, FTSE 100 is, or the S&P 500, and it just tracks that. They weren't around before he came along. What they had was hedge funds where you get managers picking stocks, trying to beat these indexes and charging you for it. And so he picked, and people said, your tracker won't work. And so it turns out it did work. It beat most money managers, most hedge funds, and it charged a lot less. So basically, Wall Street hated him because he put lots of hedge fund managers out of jobs. And even now, I'm looking now, Vanguard, for example, Steve, right? There's what's called, there's loads of different ones, tracker funds. They've also got these life strategy tracker funds, and so you've got life strategy 20% equity fund, so they invest 20% in a spread of equities, okay, it's a fund, and then the rest is in bonds or safer fixed income, you know, and they've got the and it goes up to say 40% equity or 60% equity or 80% equity or 100% equity, and they're very widely spread. Like, give you an example, like the 100% equity fund last 5 years of performance, so in 2014, it had 9% return. 2015 was 3.5%. 2016, 26% return. 2017, 13% return. And 2018, 5% drop. So you can see that's a decent return, isn't it? And then, and it's relatively, you know, safe, relatively safe. I mean, you can put your money in one of these funds and you get a decent return, and you have people sitting there with cash in the bank. Do not sit there with cash in the bank. If you have cash in the bank, your value of your money is going down. They say inflation is like 2%, right? It's not. I've been reading a great book recently. It's called How to Own the World. And he said that inflation is a lot higher than you think, because the way they set it up is ridiculous. There's CPI, which is lower, and there's RPI, which includes mortgages. But inflation, he reckons, is running around like 8, 9, 10%. That's what he reckons. And he said and it goes through it. It's a bit complex. I can't remember half what he says. But if that's the case, it's quite worrying, you know. And you realise that the power of your pound goes down over years, massively. And so don't just sit there with your money in a bank. And if you want to get, you know, almost an easy way of investing that, you know, beats the sort of banks and beats the markets pretty much, or beats a lot of stock pickers, just go in a tracker fund like Vanguard. You know, it's relatively safe. Just sit there. It's passive. You do nothing. And it earns a good return for you. Yes, when there's a bad market, like I said, last year, I'm sure we lost. I made last year, last 12 months. But I'm sure many people lost more than 5% stock pickers last year, you know. This tracker fund only lost 5%. But if you look at the last 3 years, 13 plus 26, what's that? Mm-hmm. Do the math there. That's 39, 4, 42, and 9. It's about 50-odd percent in the last 4 years, you know. So that's decent,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it'll be more than that because it'll be compounded.
Compounded, yeah. So that is decent return. So if you are listening to this and you don't know how to start investing, or you never know it, just look for Vanguard. They're available in your ISA. They're trackers, loads of different tracker funds, but they're low cost. And that's the thing. That's what he pointed out. He said you would have like these hedge fund managers pointing out they'd beaten the market. You know, the market had done like 7%. They'd done like 12. They'd done like, you know, 10%. But they were charging about 3% for their services. So essentially, you may as well go to the market, but you couldn't do it back then. And so he set up a tracker fund that cost nothing, or very little, in a sort of 0.5%, and it beat the sort of hedge fund managers. So Vanguard is in. Look for. I'll put a link, I think, somewhere. I'll put a link on the Audio Boom thing if you want to go there. Vanguard and Jack Bogle, worth looking at, because it's one of these hidden secrets, I think, that not many people know about as investors, or new investors don't know about, and it's an easy way into investing. And but like I said, if you invest, you know, on a down year, I think you're going to get a good return, you know. Anyway, that's that. By the way, do you know what? I've tried this week to stop talking about Brexit on Twitter. Twitter's a good place for arguing anyway, you know.
Like I said, you love.
Yeah, the hot topic's Brexit. Just arguing non-stop this week. In the end, I got on my own nerves. I set up a poll, and I had about 400 votes within an hour, and it came down to say 400 votes in a day. So Yeah, 63%. And I'll stick by this, of course. I won't try and change it like a Remainer. But I'll stick with this and say I'll try not to mention Brexit anymore unless it has economic value subjective in some way.
So, sorry, what was the poll? What was the
Should I stop mentioning Brexit? And 63% right. of people say yes.
37 said no.
Yeah, because it's very divisive, isn't it? So, you know, it divides people, you know, pretty much. And, yeah, so...
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But weren't any abstainers or any other options? It was just... Yes, no. It was a ref, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Referendum on the referendum. Yeah. So, because essentially, it's not only that. It's a waste of time. I thought of that prayer, that poem. I'm not religious in any way, but that serenity thing where it says, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, I can't change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I mean, well, I can't do anything about Brexit. There's no way me wasting my time arguing about it on Twitter. What's the point? You know, someone has one opinion, I have another opinion. I'm going to change their opinion. You know,
hallelujah! So you'll stop ranting on about Brexit.
Even
now,
if I got all the facts and they're just talking nonsense, you know. Well, yeah. So
even if you're absolutely right, yeah.
I think even Paddy, with our friends, he was getting a little bit annoyed about it. Mentioned
I know,
on the podcast.
But do you know what? I just think just one thing. There's a lot of project fear out there. There is, and it's ill-founded. It is completely ill-founded. You know, like, do you know what? I'll give you an example. I didn't mention it. I was dying to mention it. The BBC led with the price of medicines going up for pharmacists, you know? And they mentioned Brexit in it, right? I heard several, I read the article. It didn't mention Brexit in the article, which the reason was just global. These things happen. These global drug suppliers will send drugs to the highest payers. And that's the way it is. It's short supply. And currency change as well, because it costs more for us because our currency is going down. And they said, oh, that's Brexit. And BBC said it was uncertainty. But it wasn't. An expert came on and said, it's not Brexit. Basically, denied. But the BBC kept mentioning Brexit in the thing. I said, why are you doing that? This is giving Remainers another reason. See, drugs. Oh, so we can let in anyone we want into this country, but we can open our borders to anyone, anything, you know, anything at all. Anyway,
I think both sides of the argument have had okay. Yes, they're putting things forward that aren't accurate and aren't probably helping with the whole situation, really, because it's kind of propaganda, really, isn't it? But that doesn't get away from the fact that we're better off remaining. Anyway, right, let's move on.
Well, do you know what? I mean, that thing on the bus was annoying. 350 million a week, they said there, right? That's not. They didn't take into account the money we get back. So, net, I mean, we were giving 8 billion to the EU. That's net. That's everything coming back, everything. So that is 153 million a week. So, okay, it's not 350 million, but it's 153 million a week we were giving the EU. That's without getting anything back from that. It's net. So that's the accurate bit. That's on our independent website. So, you know, so we were paying a lot of money to the EU. Do you know what? Did you see the results say not a good result for Upland? Do you both hold Upland?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Upland's one of those ones I think I mentioned the other week where I, at the time, was saying, oh, it's one of those ones I wish I'd put more in. I'd de-risked, but, you know, I wish you'd put more in. Then you get an announcement like that this week, it's seen a drop. But that's, you know, the chance of success at that on that drill was always going to be low, but then it's taken a knock, hasn't it, the share price. Is this a time now to top up and get ready for the bigger projects? But I don't know, not sure about that.
Mm. Well, do you know what? I'm getting more. I've always liked figures. I've never been really good at maths. Brilliant. I've never been brilliant at maths, you know. But I do love. I do
that quickly. But
the thing you don't need to understand about odds, right? And I always say, you know, I watched that Louis Theroux documentary a while back in Las Vegas, and I said the difference between gambling and investing is with investing, you can put the odds on your side. There's so many things. And also gambling, you lose, you say horses, for example, you're racing against other horses. You're not, really. There's competition in business, yes, but you're not directly racing against someone else, and then you lose the entire lot, you know? You could take a knock on a bad investment. But if you do research and even look at charts, even if you, on a basic level, if a company's fundamentals are the same, you know, and the share price is below a certain, say, average mean over the last, say, 6 months, you can have a better chance of reverting to mean and making money, you know, rather than buying it right at the top of the chart where it's been rallying like crazy, you know, even down to that. But if you look at the chance of Upland Resources, their WIC prospect. It was a prospect, and it's what's called exploration. That's, you know, one of the highest risks you can get. It wasn't high impact, really deep, you know, but the chance of success there was 30%. So, you know, even a roulette wheel isn't that bad odds. A roulette wheel, apparently, the house has an advantage of 5.26%, so they've got 56.26% advantage to you. But that's enough. That's enough, you know? So you're talking about less than a 1 in 3 chance that drill having success. Now, that's why I sold beforehand. In fact, it kept... If you look, I looked at the chart, it kept hitting top of the chart, Upland. It kept hitting that top of the chart. And I did say to you on WhatsApp, I said, I've sold Upland, I'm de-risking. And it hit the same price over and over again. It couldn't get above it. So I decided to sell.
And hang on a minute. When did you tell us that?
On WhatsApp. Yeah. I always... Steve, you're on different planets sometimes. I say something, then you say something.
The only reason I say it is because a few weeks ago I said about selling Upland and you said to hold on to it.
No, was that United Oil and Gas or Upland?
No, it was Upland.
Oh, well, it couldn't get above 4 pence. I tried it once and it failed several times. And it went to try it another time and I just sold pretty much.
Because of 4 pence.
I did tell you, didn't I, Pete?
Yes.
I did, Steve.
I wasn't sure if you had sold completely out or just taken a lot of profit and reduced your holding a lot, but I don't know.
All right.
To be fair, I've de-risked in it loads, so there's only profit I'm losing now, but I was quite high up, obviously, on it, and I said I'm probably going to sell some of that, and you said to hold on to it.
I thought if you de-risk a lot, that's fine. I just thought the chance of success was 30%. Now, that is gambling. I mean, they've got other things going on, which I quite like about them, you know, and I'm considering getting back in now, because... That's the thing. Now, in difference here, United Oil and Gas is a 58% chance of success. Like I said, that's better than the house has on roulette wheels. And that's why, yes. And they still win money all the time. That's why, you know, it's amazing when you go to Las Vegas, you say, do you know how they build these hotels? They're fantastic, aren't they? Do you know how they build them? It's like, with the money you lose. Simple as that. Yeah. And yet people go back, they're expecting to win. No, the odds are stacked against you. You cannot win, even if, pretty much, they have a 51% chance over the long term. You know, you win now and again, but the probability suggests that the longer you play, the more you lose. You know, so yeah. I say United Oil and Gas at Coulter is odds on, Upland Resources odds against. You know, so I just think you have to look at things like this and think, right, okay, and do research and try and stack the odds in your favour as much as you can. You know. And it comes down to risk and reward, doesn't it, really, you know?
But Upland's next couple of projects are much higher chance of success, aren't they?
No, they're exploration, really, I think. Do you know what? I'm not... Sarawak and... thing. I mean, they're exploration. I mean, there was a time... You know, they got hard stuff, didn't they, which is... hard stuff, which is okay. Yeah, that's hard stuff. I'm not sure that... I mean, just... hard stuff is an appraisal, I think, and... So that's there. But they've got two massive ones, Sarawak and in Tunisia, obviously, massive transformational things. But, I think it just comes down to that. Let's look at assets, Hardstoft in the UK. Yeah, no, there's a high chart. I mean, I think Hardstoft is odds on, I think. But I don't know when that's happening. It's a modern drill, low cost, low risk, deviated development, Hardstoft, yes. I can't see. Blackwater estimates the chance of Hardstoft is 80% and 64% for Hardstoft East. That's odds on. I mean, that's decent there. I don't know when that's going to be done, though. So I don't know. So, yeah, I just think, you know, try and look at that, you know. Do you know what? I've just been thinking about this week, you know, risk. And I've often said in the videos, isn't it, but your maximum exposure, this is mine, you know, this is my thing, is about 10%. Now, this is maximum, you know, absolutely maximum, depending on how risky the investment is. If it's a pre-revenue micro-cap stock, which is losing money, needs funding, should probably bring that exposure down, you know. Maximum should be a lot less than that. Because you always scale in if you get confirmation news. So you could be even down to 1%, 2% of your portfolio that. You know, if the company's generating free cash flow, it's a dividend payer, it's a big stock, then yeah, you can go 10%. You can go up to that, or even a bit more if you're confident, if the outlook is good, you know? But I think the one thing you should always look at is your percentage risk and your percentage reward. So the risk of your portfolio, if this tanks, how much will I lose? And also look at, you know, a good thing to look at is, like, what kind of return am I going to get on this? I've been watching that show. I quite like it, actually. And I don't think we're doing this enough as investors. We don't look at the potential return we're hoping to get, our return on capital. And watching my £1 million menu, have you seen that? With what's the French guy? Fred something from The first date. Have you seen that guy, French guy, kind of smart guy?
I've seen a bit of it.
The waiter.
Well, he's the head. What's
it called?
It's not the waiter, Steve. That he would be annoyed by that. The what's it called? What's the top man called? When you come into a not the concierge. No, the the top stinker. The top stinker. I don't know what it's called. Yeah, but it's him, Fred, and essentially Fred Dynage, yeah. It's essentially like Dragon's Den, isn't it, from restaurants. Right. So basically they got these investors, and I had a bit of a chat with one of the guys on the program on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I said, what I like about that, I like watching Dragon's Den as well, but it's a bit more skew with that. They only go with very proven, you know, they don't take risk, Dragon's Den, at all. Very little risk. So unless it's a viable business already, pretty much, they don't invest in it, which is fine. That's up to them. They've got the money. They've earned their money now. They can do that. So they won't take a lot of risk. But with this, I said to the guy, what's his name? Jamie, the guy was on there. I said, I love it. I love it because I see the love of food you have and your heart fighting with your head. Because your head's at figures, you know. But your heart is saying, I love this food. But is it a viable business venture? And I said, you know, what margins do you look at? And he said, I look at, you know, return on capital. I aim for about 30%. You know, if I can't get that, if I can't, but so if he's putting like $300,000 into a company, you know, then he'll want $90,000 pretty much, won't he? You know, I don't know what period of time that is. So 10%, obviously, 30 times. Yeah, so and that's what we should look at. That's what you always should look at. That you should look at potential risk to your portfolio. How much am I going to lose here? And what's the potential return on my capital? You know?
Yeah, no, I think I do that. Where I fall down though is then not taking profit. What of a better word? It's greed, isn't it? It's kind of like
yes, exactly. Well, exactly. Yeah.
It's going to go on, so we'll continue further and further. Whereas if you step back and look at it, hold on, you know, I'm 100% up or something, or 200% up, or 300% up. You know, just take. You know, completely sell out of that stock. Yes, if it goes to 800% up, okay, you've missed out. But don't be greedy. Take what you've made there and be very happy with that. Blimey, that's
it. Yeah, treat it like a business. You know, it's like I said many a time. I mean, right, let's talk about risk reward there. I said, when you're looking at pre-revenue small cap stocks, there's a lot of risk there. So you expect a lot of return. You know, you can expect 50 to 100%. You can expect that.
Yeah.
And that's but you don't want to put too much in. So you know, it's higher risk, higher return. Now, with obviously a big cap stock, say like Lloyd's or BT or something like that, you can put more in, but you can get less. You know, the return is going to be high, so you put more in, so less risk, less reward. But that's what you look at. Like you got to look at it like a business. Like sometimes, if you're up, like Steve's kicking himself because he's up in Europa. He's up 90% in Europa. Steve, if you invested in a business, you know,
Europa. With it,
Europa Metals.
You were 90% and didn't de-risk.
You know Europa, Steve? You know that one?
Oh, sorry.
EUZ?
I'm a bit of a...
Yeah.
Yes, 95% up, yeah.
90,
like,
I'm back to 90% up. How did that happen?
Yeah. I'm doing well. The markets are shutting, aren't
they? It's a tricky one because I remember you saying you shouldn't have been so good. You should have sold it earlier. But at what point should I have sold it at 94, 93, 95? That's why we got the 100% thing there, really, isn't it?
No. Yeah, but I know. But, you know, it's a round figure is very arbitrary, isn't it? So I always see if I'm close to that amount up, you know, 85-90% up on something, and there's a big volume day, you know, big volume day, and you know they need funding down the road, you know, and there's a big double digit rise on that day, I'll sell into that. I'll just take the money and run. Because if it was a business team, you set up a business, let's be honest, you started and you'd be like 95% up within a couple of months, you know, you think, wow, this business is cracking, you know, businesses aren't that liquid.
But there have been other stocks that have done that. They've had their kind of ramp, and then that ramp has continued to rise for a day or two.
I know,
after,
but so. You can't expect that to happen, especially in the market. The market was changing, and the funding was needed. And I just think, you know, you've got to take some profit.
I didn't, which is why you hit 174. But you wouldn't have sold. I don't think you would have sold at 95.
I know. I think I did. I don't think I was. It went up past 100% after I sold. I think I was close.
I sold at about 90%, about 90%, because I just felt that story was there was a long delay, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. So I kind of de-risked because I thought that's a good rise, and then it sort of tumbled, and I've ended up selling selling out, or still at a profit, but you know, there's profit disappeared quickly, didn't it?
I got about 10% of my portfolio, as I said, and mm-hmm. literally now I'm about minus 60 down, so that's really kind of messed me up a little bit, but you know, we learn. Well, yeah.
Even then, you're not overexposed, like, you know, the 10% rule.
No, but it's a fair whack of the portfolio.
Yeah, of course.
China have said that they're going to buy, go on a 6-year buying spree. That's what they just said. They released that recently on Friday
evening.
They're
going to buy Europa.
You know, a 6-year buying spree. So 6 years, that's nothing. Right. They haven't met my missus. But no, they're try and get... The surplus, so they trade with America, and America obviously spend more on Chinese goods than China spend on American goods, right? So a massive deficit, like $300 billion. So they're going to try and get that deficit down to zero, so there's equal trade between America and China by 2024, I think, which is nuts. That means so this is part of the trade talks. So that means China almost promised, it hasn't come out officially, but they're going to promise to buy a lot of American goods, you know? And that will obviously help. But... this has stoked the market a bit. I do think we're still in for a downturn. I still have this, you know, bearish resource stock sort of mentality. I know a lot of people, you know, on Twitter have not liked me for it, because I was quite bullish on resource stocks. But I've changed my mind. And I thought, you've got to change your mind. When you see a lot of economic indicators pointing one way, you've got to change your mind. I don't know if this thing will happen, if China's going to happen, because... And that will change. I mean, you know, I might get bullish on resource stocks again. I just think if you get new information and you want to act on it, you don't change your mind, or the fundamentals gets worse on a company and you don't change your mind, then that's ridiculous, isn't it? You should change your mind, shouldn't you?
Yes. Mm. Well, yes. I mean, the thing with you is that you're just very, you know, forthright in kind of what you say, don't you? So, and you change your mind quite quickly, perhaps. But, yeah, absolutely. You're entitled
to. Someone said to me today, I said, are you back in Jangada Mines, right? Mm. I think it's going to have a cracking year. And I said, you may be right, actually. You may be right there. Maybe a good, I don't know if it's going to be a cracking year. So 8.45%. I said, it's got, you know, they're funded to go to the next major milestone. There's a new government in Brazil that's pro-economic, you know, pro-business. But I said, I'm still quite bearish on stuff. I'm only looking at companies now that do not need funding this next year. And they're going to be cash generative, hopefully. You know, or they are already. And that's why I got Way Education. That's why I got Brave Bison. That's why that's why I'm bullish on Bidstack, because they are. And apparently, Tuple are going to do it as well. That's the board have reiterated that several times. And I just think you've got to look at. So when Steve said on Twitter, I said, "Listen," he said, "I'm down now on WhatsApp. I'm down from 5% since we started investing." I said, yeah, do you know what? Resource stocks are like that. They're very boom and bust. They're very high risk, and the sentiment can change very quickly if they need funding, you know, very quickly. And so the companies I'm looking at now, you can literally, you know, invest in and realise, you know, I've looked at the economy, and just wait till the next interim. So you don't have to make a difference. Because I had someone on Twitter say, he's overtrading. So I'm losing money. I'm overtrading. I'm behind the curve in certain stocks. I'm selling something. It goes up. It's ridiculous. I'm chasing. I said, yeah, don't be a trader. If you go on the IG's website, you know, biggest sort of spread betting company around, they have warnings now saying that 80-odd% of people lose money in trading, you know? So why would you do that? Play the odds. Don't trade. Do not trade. You can't guess daily swings in the market. It's very hard. You know, but longer term, if a business fundamental is getting better in a company, then it should get valued higher. And so I just think these companies I'm talking about here, like... in fact, you know, Bidstack, I mean, it's improving. I'm going to do a video on Bidstack this weekend, and I've been looking at the market, and it's a phenomenal market. The gaming market, and they've got part of that. The media within gaming as well is phenomenal. And I was looking at the three sort of, or the two 10-baggers I've had in tech. One has been Vesarion, the other one's been EVRH, right? And now I think Bidstack's going to be another one. I know that's a big thing to say, right? I don't know if it'll be a 10-bagger, but I think it'll re-rate massively. And I'll tell you why. If you look at the market of graphene, which is Vesarion, right, it's not that big because they can't mass produce. But the blue sky potential is there because it'll be in so many different industries. It's growing, but it's growing quickly. It's at 84%, I think, last from 2017 to 2018. So it's growing quickly, but it's still not that big. It's still about 200 million. That's all the market is because they can't produce. But now mass production is starting to happen and it could change so many different industries. So it's blue sky there. Now, if you look at virtual reality, it's been around now for like over 10 years, hasn't it, pretty much, VR. And there's been a couple of rebirths of it. This is probably the second rebirth. But I looked at the investment in a big article out this week saying that Silicon Valley's investment has gone down by 80-odd% in VR. At CES in Las Vegas, you know, the big sort of tech show, there were very little sort of, you know, show-stealing AR and VR apps, which there were last year. Then you go on to gaming. And gaming is phenomenal. It's like beats everything. It's like, even in the UK, it's a 4 billion industry. Now, graphene, I think, is like 200 million worldwide at the moment. It's going to be hoping to be a billion-dollar industry in 2024, something like this. Already in the UK alone, it's a 4 billion industry. And it's growing at more than double-digit percentage rate. It's phenomenal. So I'm thinking, this, you know, BidStack here, I mean, they started off within 3 months. In fact, not even within 3 months. They listed, what, in September or something like that. But in November, they went live with Football Manager, and they hit 300K of revenue from, you know, to the end of December. I think, how many businesses can you set up like that and just within a month almost hit your target, 300K? And then James said, I'm not worried about the next year pretty much. I was worried about hitting this because obviously a new company, new sales team, trying to scrape all the processes in place. And I'm just saying, it's a massive... I see it as next VR, but I see it bigger than VR. I see it as next, you know, sort of VRS, Visarian, but I see it going bigger. I see it being sustained and revenues coming in faster.
But all of these stocks are, the ability for them to say 10 bag or whatever, it does come down to that hype and hope, doesn't it? In terms of actually...
Yeah, but it can be sustained.
It's almost irrelevant what industry they're in or how they're going to generate revenue, because it's not about that. It's about people getting excited.
Yes, but the difference here...
driving the share price upwards.
I know, but listen to this. I believe this can be sustained. I honestly believe because there's a revenue there. Do you know what? It's one of the fastest.
I almost think that's irrelevant.
No, but listen, because that blue sky potential. The reason why VR, you know, Visarian hasn't dropped to the sky, is because that industry is still developing. It's still there. With VR, virtual reality, and music, that, you know, your subsection there of VR. VR itself is not doing very well at the moment, and then the subsection of that is the music side of it. Now, I just don't think, I don't think the viability is there for someone to sit down with these VR things on your head and watch concerts. I don't think there's enough big enough market there. And it seems like investment is not going into VR anyway anymore. But gaming is already massive. There's no proof of concept needed there. It's massive, it's still growing. It's one of the biggest industries in the world.
But it's not gaming you're necessarily buying into.
Listen to this. So, the problem is, there's an excellent article, 4 reasons media buyers should spend more time buying in-game ads and gaming ads, right? It's because it's well underserved. Right now, did you see that Netflix came out and they said Fortnite is more of a threat than HBO, another TV channel? Because that's where the youths are. They're on games, they're on mobile games, and the ads is underserved. You know, compared to TV, there's a lot more money going into TV and just normal internet adverts than gaming. It's well underserved. So they're looking to generate, leverage this kind of this adoption, and it's going to get bigger. Mobile gaming now, they've got the processing power, and that's where the biggest sort of movement is. Mobile is now powering the gaming industry. And James came on the podcast and he was very excited about mobile. He said that. He said mobile is where it's at. Streaming and mobile is the fastest growing sector within the gaming industry. So I just think if they get it right, it could go mad. I'm really, I like the company. I just like James. You've got 20% of the stock. You know, the CEO with a lot of skin in the game. And I think it could be massive. I genuinely see it as the next VRS. In fact, and only that, bigger than that. Because do you see, the Massive Inc. was the first company to sort of do this in-game advertising. It was a company bought by Microsoft. They reckoned that James had 186 million. I've searched online. Some people don't know the actual figure. They were saying it's between 200 and 400 million. Microsoft paid for it. They shut it down because essentially it was a one-platform company. And also the tech wasn't there yet. There wasn't any mobile gaming. So Microsoft saw
in terms of competition now, who do BidStack have as competition in this field, and who else is doing this?
Well, EA have their own in sales ad people on their game.
So that's quite big.
Yeah, they're quite big, they're not game agnostic, are they? They are. That's the problem with Massive Inc. Microsoft bought Massive Inc. for $200 million, saw the potential there, but they only had one platform. And then apparently, I read reports there was in-house problems or conflict because there's one part of the team who wanted Massive Inc on and others didn't. They said we could sell our own stuff. So, but the concept works, you know. There's money there and they can be... And already, you know, they're coming out now with Dirt Rally. It's a phenomenal series. They've all been... All of the, they've been BAFTA nominated. There's like a million downloads. So it's Dirt Rally's coming out next month. It's
and
massive.
They have the exclusivity on...
Exclusivity. Yeah, exclusivity on that. Let me just say... I've got a little thing here. This is what James said in the podcast, which I quite like. He said, over the next 12 to 24 months, in terms of impression numbers per day, we'll be an extremely large media owner across any real estate. We'll be one of the largest. That is a big thing, isn't it, to say that?
So that's a big statement.
They've got 9 contracts with games in the pipeline. They've already monetized one. So, mobile gaming is where that is where it's at. You know, mobile and streaming is where it's at. It's the fastest growing. So I'm just, you can't tell, obviously. You cannot tell. And he did say RI is on other markets such as mobile gaming, free to play, where you've got an install base of 200 to 300 times a day install base compared to where they are now. Now, in terms of impressions opportunities, it's enormous in amounts of real estate. So they say it's real estate. They own those bits of real estate in those games. Yeah. And they just split out the publisher. And it's there. The market's there. It's not like VR where they're trying to find the market. You know, it's not like, graphene, which is still the tech is trying to catch up. You know, they understand there's demand there. They can't produce it on a mass scale yet. But it still has massive potential, graphene. So it's there. Okay. The tech is there.
Steve's done his research and he's bought in, hasn't he?
I bought
on Thursday. It was down 8%. Ridiculous. I don't know why it was down. So I started buying. This is nuts. It was down like 4%, 2% in the morning. And I said to you guys, it's a down day for Bidstack if you're not in. And then it went down further, like 8% down. What's going on here? Sometimes you need volume to flush out some sellers, you know? And so I bought some more.
I bought on a high day the day before when it was at its highest. So,
That's good.
And then, on Friday, it ended up 6.98%. But I genuinely think as titles get released here and they start cranking up this sales machine, I just think it'll go gangbusters. I really do. It's very little stock available. It's tightly held. It's one of the fastest growing industries in the world. They've got a nice little revenue number there. I love it. I think if they do the right thing. I think people just seeing, they place a couple of ads in Football Manager. No, they're going for the entire kind of area, mobile gaming, streaming. They're going everywhere. And I think, as they go through this, I expect news flow to pick up. And, James was very confident and relaxed when he said, I'm not so worried about the target this year, which is 5.9 million revenue. I was worried about hitting that target within a short space of time, that's all. I didn't want to fail on that first target we had. But now he's not so worried. And I just quite like it, quite like it.
I'm gathering that. I'm looking forward to seeing the video. There we go.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've done one. So give me an update on that. And at the end of this one, you can put your... I'll put a link to the other one if your time doesn't see that. But, it'll have down days, of course. And also, they've got money. That $3.5 million they've got. So, that's going to last them. Until apparently their broker reckons they've hit the first target, but until they get profitable. And that's next year. There's not like you don't have to. They're not going to look for funding again. It won't be discounted. They've got revenue already. So I quite like that. Any other stocks? Any other stocks you want to chat about, guys? Chat about Chattanooga.
Chat about. What else was there this week?
Steve.
Yeah.
I'll ask you guys. Someone said to me, can you do a video on time management when researching stocks? Because I work full time. He said, I don't have much time to look at stocks. And I understand this. I understand that. I said, okay, I got a lot more time. That's what I interview people and look at stocks. That's what I do. And I understand if you're working sort of 9 to 5, you got to commute there back, you come home naked, you have tea, maybe you got half an hour. That's enough. Half an hour, you can do decent research. As long as you've got a system. Now, the first thing I think, you've got to cut down your options first. That sounds very odd, because there are plenty of stocks out there, and you can make money on most stocks if you buy the right price. So you cut down the filter. You've got to really narrow it down, your focus. And I do talk about this in the videos, my 10 lessons I've learned. Because, you can get pulled left and right. If you look at Twitter, people ramping that and ramping this and all that stuff. So first and foremost, What are you looking at? You know, what's your risk appetite? Are you looking at taking big risks, hoping to gain some big rewards? If you are, you know, adjust your filter. Just like get the Vox app, only put on your watch list companies that are small cap, have a potential to, you know, 10 bag or whatever. Or you look at more sensible companies. Just put those in your watch list, like the bigger companies, you know, dividend payers or whatever. So start off with a small pool. That's all you do. And then, you know, research those, you know, and say, even if it's down to, you've got plenty of time. You know, you do say, I'm going to research just one stock this week. You know, one stock in a week. So do this. If you go through a couple of things, don't worry. You've plenty of time. Honestly, shares go up and down. There's plenty of time. Don't worry about missing out on the spike. So I'm going to look at one stock this week, or maybe even one a day if you want. If you can do one, I try and I have gone through periods where I've done, you know, a couple in a day or one a day. But if you do one a week, that's plenty. You know, that means that's 52 stocks in a year if you do that. You know, if you have a system. So it's not a lot. So so I just think what I mean. Is there anything? I mean, obviously, Steve is the expert here on research.
Very much so.
Steve will listen to the ticker. What's the ticker, please? That's it, and then he's away. That's it.
Sometimes I didn't even listen to that. So
yeah,
that's true.
That's like my father. I guess in the phone, my father's hearing's terrible. He said, "Just what was that company said?" I said, "Well, I quite like two, Daddy." I said, "I mentioned the one before. You didn't buy it, though. So it's gone up a little bit now. Up about 60%." I said, "It's Brave Bison." He said, "I said, yeah, BBSN." He said, "Right, BBSM? No, BBSN. N. BBSN. Yeah. Okay. And Bidstack. Okay. Okay. And I said BIDS. Okay. BISS. No, Bidstack. BIDS." And he's like, "And he'll take me four times. B-I what? B-I-S. Right, yeah. And he's like, "God, Dad. God, and the thing is, you can't, this day and age, you can't just, you know, log into his computer because he needs his card or something. Because I dread to think what he's buying. I don't know what's in his portfolio. But,
But they'll probably rock it and they'll be like, "Yeah, thanks for that BISS stock. They were brilliant."
Oh, that's one other thing I want to say. Do you know what will help you? And it's an odd thing to say, but if you've done research on a stock and you feel you have little time, you never truly watch a stock unless you have a bit of skin in the game. And I say this with any company, right? Always start small. Doesn't matter what the company is. It doesn't matter how much convinced you are. This is the mistake I keep making over and over again. I go in too big too quickly. And the share price takes a knock and I'm down about 10%. And I realise, hang on, I've got to put a big chunk in now. And I don't want to go over my 10% exposure level, but I'd have to average down on this. So always go in. I've got a couple of stocks now. I'm not going to mention them because I put like a tiny bit in. I like them yet, but I don't know if confirmation is there, they will improve. So I put nothing in, almost like 0.5% worth of my portfolio. I'm just sitting and waiting and watch it. I don't care. If you put a tiny bit in, you can only lose a tiny bit, you know? Yeah. If it starts to grow and you get news out from the company that makes sense, you can start scaling in. There's always time to scale in. So I just say always, if you research a company, put a tiny bit in. Invest a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit. Nothing. Something doesn't, you know, does not matter if you lose. Then because you'll start reading the story, reading the news they release, if you have some skin in the game. But then it doesn't matter if you got, say, a portfolio worth 10 grand and you put, 50 quid in a stock, you read the news, it comes out, but it doesn't matter if you lose the money. And it doesn't matter if it's economically viable. It doesn't matter if it can charge, 10 quid a trade. It'll just make you a bit of skin in the game. I honestly mean that small, that kind of level, because you will pay attention to it, but you won't lose if it goes wrong. And I don't suggest you buy 100 companies like that, because I research first and then do that.
Well, and the other thing is your trading cost would be...
It's pointless doing that. What I'm talking about is a pilot sort of position, tiny pilot position.
Yeah, I see.
And then because I've got a couple of stocks like that at the moment, and I'm not worried. So one's down 30-odd%, one's down about 20%, and I'm not worried because, it's a tiny bit in the portfolio.
The flip side of that is that you end up with a big portfolio of lots of little stocks and you haven't got the time, because going back to like the guy who's working full-time, like me and Steve, we don't have a lot of time to research. I mean, Steve does because he does a lot of in-depth stuff, but... Mm-hmm. Then keeping on top of all the little pilot projects you've got going is equally difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, but so, I wouldn't go nuts on that. They have to go through certain filters. Like I said, my cash model, if a company hits about 80% of those, I'm quite happy, and then I'll maybe go for it. But you find they won't. Many companies won't, So
yeah. I still want to consolidate a lot of my portfolio and kind of get rid of quite a few of the sort of dog stocks that have failed.
Yeah, Paddy's got this issue, hasn't he? Paddy, I said I agree with Pete. Sell three dogs to buy a pedigree, because you know what, it's like three donkeys to buy a decent horse, a decent racer. And I said, yeah. I'm a bid stack. I said, sell some of your resource stocks. They're not going to come back. That need funding. They'll go lower if they get funding. Because that's the trouble with it. Do you know what? You've got to take a loss sometimes. And it does hurt. But that loss can get bigger. Can. Don't think it's going to... Or can stay there forever.
The racehorse I buy will probably fall at the first and get shot.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But
And then you lost three or four stocks then.
I've lost everything, yeah. I've lost the donkeys and... living racehorse.
Yeah. But the thing is, what I'm saying is, if you look at Paddy, I'm not going to mention the companies, but he had, you know, three companies mentioned, two of them resource stocks that probably need funding. I said, Paddy, they will go lower if they do funding. I mean, they may you know, build in the future, that value may build, but how long are you talking about? Because once you start, you know, raising money, you get a lot of churn on that, and it takes ages. In the meantime, that other stock could be slowly rising, you know, so you're losing out both ways. So you've got to think about that. It's just, again, allocation of capital. One of the reasons why you sell. One is allocation of capital. Can you allocate that capital more efficiently elsewhere? You know?
Yeah. It's still something I'm working out. But
So I think it'd be nice to see a little bit of a bounce on some of those stocks that kind of fell over Christmas, you know, before you do sell them, rather than sell them at absolute rock bottom, because you know as soon as you sell them, they're going to have a rocket, aren't they?
Yeah, well, do you know what? I think if this comes through, this China thing, this deal now, which looks like it's quite close, obviously there's Brexit in the way, but it won't hurt resource stocks, it'll still rally. Then you could have a decent couple of months of rallying, you know, and it could run the momentum from that could be good. I mean, I did tweet out on the markets today, every single market, major market pretty much is up. So, you know, this is on this kind of news across Europe, across Asia, across America. So you get a couple of weeks of that, and you'll find you'll be in a better position. And so,
And Lloyd's has recovered a lot. I mean, based on obviously the pound doing better now and all the rest of it. But you know, that's I thought it was going to be stuck down around 50p for the foreseeable because of all the Brexit.
Yeah, we see that. I'm looking at Lloyd's chart now. Technical bounce, actually. Nothing bounces. Nothing recovers in a straight V. So you'd have to, Lloyd's will come back, and a lot of stocks do this, Lloyd's will come back and bounce again, test that level again, maybe a higher low, so it won't go down to 50 pence, maybe 52 pence, and then it'll bounce back up again, and hopefully that's the change in trend that's needed. But there's never a V-shaped recovery, honestly, there's a technical bounce. You need a double bounce, really, one higher low maybe, and then it'll start rallying. But yes, okay. Any plans for the weekend, lads, apart from your date together?
No, I'll probably just stare into the middle distance.
Okay, good.
I was going to go and do park run tomorrow morning, but looking at the weather, it looks a bit wet, so I might...
Come on, Steve, man.
Steve, what's wrong with you? Like Donald Trump?
It's only 5K, come on.
It's just not very fun running in the rain, is it?
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to drive there, so I'll be coming back all wet, so I might just go for a hike instead.
A hike? I saw a picture of you hiking. See? Listen, first of all, park run. I take my son on Saturday morning swimming, right? I see this in the park next to the swimming pool. And I quite like the idea. I just think if you're a single person or a couple and you've no kids, or you're a single person and you want to just run. And it's an excellent idea, isn't it? I really like the idea of park run. Have you done it before, Steve?
I haven't, no. I've always been put off because it's a bit short, really, from my runs.
Well, Steve, you can start earlier, Steve. Fine. Just be one of those annoying people when they turn up and say, yeah, I've already done 10K. Already done it. Yeah. What's this, 5K? Oh, no problem. Come on in. Everybody's arrogant.
It's just a bit of a faff to get to. If you've got to drive there and you've got to park your car about 10 minutes.
Hang on. You just come up with a solution to your problem there, Steve.
Yeah, run there.
Oh, it's a little bit far too run.
God. Why don't you just get an Uber back then? Run there. Run the 5K and get an Uber back.
Because I'll lose my five stairs for giving them a soggy back seat then.
Your five stairs? Don't worry.
Do they stare at you five times, do they?
Yeah.
Staring at you. Then it's me. Right.
What's five stairs?
He means stars.
I just imagine five sets of Uber driver's eyes looking at you then on that lap. Okay.
Why don't you do it while the kids are swimming?
I don't know. Well, no, because I think it's like more than half an hour, isn't it? I got to run and change him.
Well, how slow you run?
Yeah, exactly. But just it's hassle getting the kids changed.
Yeah.
But I run 5 days a week anyway. I can't do much more. The 2 days I need off, my knees, you know. But if I was single, you know, and I was, you know, like Steve, I'd run there, run back, and I'd run there, run the park, and run with a lady back. You know what I'm saying? Every week, new lady from the park run.
Do you want to do some extra running? Follow me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to piggyback back to my place?
Yeah, so far. Another
12K. Are you going to go on your own, Steve? Was there someone there with you?
I know quite a lot of you do it, so I could join in with anyone.
Yeah, so how far is Bit Park from you? How many miles is that?
It's probably about six, no, five, 4 miles.
That's 4 miles enough. Plus five, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, could you run that? Do you think you run that, Steve?
I could run it, but not when it's raining, to be honest.
Steve,
it's just
raining,
not
raining. When you rain it, I used to be running all the time in the rain.
No, I don't mind running in the rain. It's just not long distances because you've got all chafing on the old nipple area then because t-shirt is damp.
Okay, so you don't mind short distances in the rain, right. Like a 50-yard sprint to Aldi.
Or hiking in the rain.
Okay, yeah, from the corner shop, 50-yard sprint with the tit milk.
I got a park right near my house, so I run that every day. So I do about 6K every day anyway. So it's just more get involved with the park run, isn't it? Just trying new things.
Do you have to pay for that or is it just free?
It's free.
Just turn up there and run. Do people chat there?
You've got to sign up to it.
Running is not really sociable of running, is it? You can't really chat, can you?
I can. I go running with my friends and we chat around, run it as we run around.
Do you?
On a nice steady 8.5 mile minute run.
8.5 mile a minute? Okay.
Minute mile. You know,
8.5 miles a minute.
That is fast.
That's like
and you're chatting. Steve, maybe you should end the Olympics. That's a hidden talent.
Wow.
Kind of need to get that the right way around, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been running next to you in Bolt, having a chat to him. Right, fair. Haven't seen you for a while. All right. Hang on, let me just get across this line before you. Cheers. Thanks. Brilliant. Oh, that was easy. Gold for me again, then.
You might as well sell your car, Steve. You don't need your car. Just run everywhere.
Good chat to people at the window of the cars. I know. Running down the A470 or the M4. All right, fella.
In the fourth lane.
No. Yeah, just run it inside them. Do you mind moving across a bit? I'm trying to overtake, and you're really hogging the fast lane. Thanks, cheers. All right, then. Well, have a nice weekend, boys, and hopefully we'll catch up next week. Hopefully, you know,
Well, you won't catch Steve.
No, I say. But I think we've made a bullish week. The Chinese come through with this good deal.
Okay. Come on, the Chinese.
Yeah. Come on, the Chinese. I was going to say something else.
Right, okay. Mm. Good.
I think that's a very odd promise. Just one thing. A very odd promise, though, do you? Just buy 6 years, go crazy for 6 years, buying American stuff. It's like everyone's wearing, you know, cowboy boots in China. Everyone's wearing cowboy boots driving Harleys. We can't buy 6 years of this stuff. Right, anyway. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Bye.
Cheers, lads. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.